Good evening, everyone. It's good to see you. I love the topic of these evening Bible studies, apologetics. I'll start it with 1 Peter 3:15. It says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Doesn't this verse just inspire you to study more and more, to know what you believe? That's really what we are called to do. Sanctify, set the Lord apart in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear. I love that verse. Anyway, we'll start with a word of prayer and then I'll get into my study. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this evening. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that your mercies are new every day. And Lord, as we look into your word, I pray that you would again teach us, your spirit would guide us. Father, that we'd have a greater understanding. Pray you use your servant, and Father, we just thank you that your word is powerful and alive, and may you speak to each one. We give you thanks in Jesus' name, amen. The topic tonight is who is Jesus Christ and what he has done. Now, all the people that I have witnessed to, I would say that this topic has generated more discussion than any other. I want to start with a question. Why is there such an attack on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Somebody want to answer that? Why is there such an attack on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Anybody? Mm-hmm. Any other answer?
Because he is light and the world wants to live in darkness.
Yes. He is light and the world loves darkness. Any other answer?
He just said he wasn't alive.
Mm-hmm. I want to touch on that some more, yep. But there's many people believe that Jesus Christ is a prophet, that he's a good person, that he is very important, he's very influential, but they will stop short of saying that he is God. And tonight, I want to start out with a few points. Who is Jesus Christ? Now, I hope and I pray that this study will help prepare our hearts so that when people ask us, that we can give them an answer. First of all, I want to say that Jesus Christ is God. And you know what? Jesus himself said that. I think that's very important to note. So if we turn to John chapter 10, and I'll be going through quite a few scriptures this evening. So if you want to follow along or at least write them down, it's good you can follow along. John chapter 10, starting at verse 25, I'll read 25 to 33. John 10, 25 to 33. Jesus answered them, "I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Well, before I go further, I think it's important to note here that Jesus says, no one is able to pluck them out of my hand. And then a few verses further, he says, no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So just remember that. Verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. I had a conversation with one gentleman, and I asked him this question. I asked him, why did the Jews want to kill Jesus? He did not say, because of blasphemy. He gave me a different answer. It's clear here, because Jesus says, I and the Father are one. They wanted to stone Jesus not because of his good works, but because of blasphemy that Jesus said he is God. Back in Exodus 3, verse 14, when Moses asked God, how is he supposed to respond when the children ask him who sent him? And God told him in Exodus 3, 14, you can tell them, say that I am that I am. Anybody know what I am means? Name of God, yes. But what does it mean? I am is, he is what?
Self-existence?
Yeah, eternal. Right? I am that I am. He's the eternal God. And I find it interesting, in John 8:58, Jesus told the Jews, before Abraham was, I am, he says. He says the same thing. He is eternal. So those few points, first of all, that Jesus said that he is God, I think that's important to know because of our study, our topic, who is Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, Jesus Christ himself says that he is God. So now I want to go a little further, and my next heading under point number one is he was pre-existent with the Father. And I think it's important to note that some people will tell you that God created Jesus first, and then he created everything else. So just be careful when you witness to people that some people believe that God first created Jesus, and then he created everything else, and then they'll say that Jesus created everything. Well, that's not true. Jesus has always existed. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the first few verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I understand in the Greek it literally means facing God. Verse 2, it says, the same was in the beginning with God. And now listen to verse 3. It says, all things were made by him, by Jesus, and without him was not anything made that was made. So that right there tells you, it says, not anything made that was made. So that right there says that Jesus has always been there. He was not created. Nothing was made without him. Very important point. Anyone remember in Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17 when he prayed? What did he say in that prayer? Verse 5. Anybody know offhand? Something about the glory which I had with you. Somebody finish that? Yes, before the foundation of the world. Also in Philippians 2, it says that Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he is God. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through to 17. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. It says, who is the image of the invisible God, speaking of Jesus, the firstborn of every creature, for by invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So speaking of Jesus here, it says in verse 15, he is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact representation of God. Do you know that an image is a likeness, but a likeness is not an image? If I go to the mirror and look in the mirror, I will see an image of myself. An image is a likeness, but a likeness is not necessarily an image. Right? Someone may say, if you've ever seen twins, people who look alike, they look alike, but they're not an image. Here in this verse, it says, who is the image of the invisible God. He is the exact representation of God. Now, if we go on a little further in the verse, it says, the firstborn of every creature. So here, well, some people will say, well, this means that Jesus was first created, and then everything else was created. He's the firstborn of every creature. Is that true? Is that what that means? No, that's right. Firstborn of every creature, you know what that means? In the Greek, it's the word prototokos, which means that he's the first one to die, to rise again, to never die again. He is the first one who, he's the first one to be raised from the dead into a glorified form. So it does not mean that he is the first one born or created, like some people will say. And then we go on to verse 16. It says, by him were all things created. All things were created by Jesus. And in verse 17, it goes on to say, he's before all things, and by him all things consist. That actually means hold together. You think of, or you look outside, you read of our vast universe. It says, in him all things consist, or all things hold together. I find that quite fascinating. And also we read, as I just shared in John 1:1-3, it supports that Jesus created all things. And I also found it interesting, it said there that all things were made. They are not being made, as the concept of evolution says. That it says that all things were made. Hebrews chapter 1. So we're still on point number one of Jesus Christ is God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manner spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And then verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And here again in verse 3 it says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So scripture is consistent. So I want to give you some more scripture to prove that, well, I don't need to prove it, God's word just says it, but to help us when witnessing to others, more scripture to show that Jesus Christ is God. You know what is so interesting in the Bible? That all the attributes that describe God also describe Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So if people claim that Jesus is not God, why do we find in the Bible that, this is one example, it says that God raised Jesus from the dead, Acts 2:24. Jesus raised himself from the dead, John 2:19 and John 10:18, and there are other verses. The Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, 1 Peter 3:18 and Romans 8:11. I find that very interesting. For those who attack Jesus Christ and say that he is not God, why do you find that in the Bible? God raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus raised himself from the dead, and the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. And that's one example. There are many examples. We need to use that when witnessing to others. Another point, I want to go on to point number two. It's important to note that Jesus Christ is sinless and that he is born of a virgin. Hebrews 7:26. Hebrews 7:26, it says, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Another familiar passage, 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5. I have this verse highlighted in my Bible. It just amazes me when I read it. 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So here it's clear that Jesus is sinless. He knew no sin. 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, 21 and 22. 1 Peter 2, 21 and 22, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." And in verse 22 again says it so clear, "Who did no sin, neither was guile or deceit found in his mouth." So these are all very important points when witnessing to others, because people come up with all kinds of strange ideas, and especially when dealing with Jehovah's Witnesses, they will have a different version. They've made up their own version, and they will often just change a few words so that they can prove their point. Also, as I said here in point number two, Jesus Christ is sinless and born of a virgin, and we read that in our Christmas story, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son," 1 verse 21, "She shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, or spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Any questions or comments so far? I want to go on to my next point. Does somebody have something to add? John 1:14. My next point is Jesus Christ came in the flesh. We sing God incarnate. The eternal Son of God took on human flesh. John 1:14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And in the Greek, it says the Word was made flesh. It actually means that there was a change of condition. So Jesus was not created, rather there was a change of condition. God took on human flesh. And we know in the scriptures, Jesus demonstrated the human characteristics. You will find that he became tired, he thirsted, he ate food, he wept. You will find that all in the scriptures. Jesus is truly God and truly man. My next point I want to share is Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He bought us back. I think we all know what Romans 3:23 says, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. And the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sins. I want to share a few verses under this point, Jesus our Redeemer. Ephesians 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7, it says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Colossians 1, verse 14. Colossians 1, 14. Very similar verse, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And also Colossians chapter 1, the same chapter, verse 20 to 22. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Verses are clear that Jesus is our Redeemer. Another point I want to make is that he is our Savior. And I could use many verses, but Luke 19:10, it says that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. And that we see God working all around us. We just heard on Sunday the testimonies of the candidates who were lost and came to his saving knowledge. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. I want to share some very important verses here. Acts 4, verse 12. You know, in the beginning, I asked the question, why is there such an attack on our Savior? When you read this verse, Acts 4, verse 12, Acts 4:12, it says that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know why there's such an attack on our Lord and Savior? Because Jesus is the only way. Especially notice that when you're in the world working with worldly people, you hear that all the time, using the Lord's name in vain. Also turn with me Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 9 to 11. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And here again we see he's our Savior, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then the very familiar verses in John chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. John 3, 15 to 17, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Next point I want to make, point number 6. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I don't know if any of you have ever come across this, but the one time I was having a discussion with one gentleman, and he says to me, I quoted John 14:6, and he says, yeah, but it's through Jesus to the Father. So really what he was trying to say, that Jesus was not of importance because it's through Jesus to the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through me. So he says to me, it's through Jesus and then to the Father. So it's all about the Father. What do you say to that? Things that I wouldn't even cross my mind. People come up with things like that, but Yeah, because it's through Jesus to the Father. So his point was he's God's Son, but he's not God. It was through Jesus to the Father. Yeah, every knee's going to bow. And just like the verses I read, right? Acts 4:12, and there is no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. But then, if you read John chapter 3, verse 35 and 36 makes it very clear again. John 3, 35 and 36, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. And then verse 36, it says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Makes it very clear that you have Jesus, you have eternal life. You don't have Jesus, the wrath of God abides on you. Any other comments? This is Bible study, okay? It's not Sunday morning, so you can say something. Okay, I'll carry on to my next point, point number 7. And I just chose some points because there was so much. At first, it's a little overwhelming, but so I just somewhere I have to write a few points here so I can have a bit of a guideline for my study. Now, he is the light of the world. John 8, verse 12. John 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And if we would continue, I know I should always read a bunch of verses just for the sake of context, but in verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Another point, Jesus is the light of the world. My eighth point, and like I say, I could spend a lot of time, I could make this part one of part 25. He died on the cross, was buried, rose again, and ascended to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15. Some say this is the Bible in a nutshell, verse 3 and 4. Paul says here, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And then I'm just kind of working toward my climax here and my ending. In the same chapter, so the importance of Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. The importance of the resurrection, it is, I'm going to read it here. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 22. And remember, there are many that believe that Jesus had not been resurrected. Right? The Sadducees, it's sad to say that they didn't believe in the resurrection. Verse 12, it says, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Makes it very clear. If Christ was not risen, then our preaching is vain, it's useless. Verse 15, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins." So if Christ had not been raised, we would still be in our sins. "Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished." And in verse 19 really says it well, that if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable or pitied. Right? If only in this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable or pitied. Now here comes a good part, verse 20. "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You know those wonderful verses? Seeing Jesus was raised from the dead, so shall we. Unless the rapture comes first. Now my last point is just building on point number 8, but who is Jesus Christ and what has he done? You know what we are waiting for right now? We are eagerly waiting for his return. Isn't that a wonderful promise? I love it how Titus 2:11 12 and 13 says, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our blessed hope. We are looking and waiting for Jesus to come. I often think of the rapture. I can't wait. Especially when you look in the Greek, it means to snatch off this earth. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time just out, gone. That's exciting reading those verses. But that's why we're supposed to be ready, looking for that blessed hope. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us, so this is Titus 2:12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live. So this is why we're looking for that blessed hope, but this is we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And verse 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for that blessed hope. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're waiting. Oh, I can't wait. I think that's going to be so awesome. I remember Bishop Howard saying to me, he says to me, if I die, I'm going up first, he said. I told him I'll be right after him. And then there's verses, there's many passages that talk about the rapture. And it is so important, so many important verses here. This is what we're waiting for. And Jesus talks about it in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's a promise. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We won't all die, but we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Like, it's going to happen so quickly. And 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18, it also talks about the rapture. It said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's the Greek word harpazo. That means to snatch away. Shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And actually, the rapture is a meeting place in the air so that we can forever be with the Lord. Those are amazing verses. Sometimes I wonder why so many people can, like, curse God and curse Jesus, and yet so many people, they talk about going to heaven. So many people just assume that, you know, there's a better life, and there is. But many people just assume they will be going to heaven. I remember some time ago, there's this younger gentleman on his T-shirt that said, I'm going to go through hell, and then I'm going to heaven. Many people just believe that good works will get you to heaven. That's a lie. And if you read of Jesus' words, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into my kingdom. Very sobering words. But I want to close this with this ninth point that, as I shared, that we eagerly wait for his return. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. I don't know, does somebody want to comment on that or share something about those verses?
It's a two-sided while we eagerly wait, that should stir a fire in us mm-hmm. to eagerly go out and to eagerly work in whatever way that is. Because the bottom line is, if they do not repent, they are going to be cast into hell forever.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. And I remember the one prophecy conference that I was at. This pastor said, how much do you have to hate somebody to not tell them about the gospel? Right? You can just ask yourself, how much do I have to hate somebody to not tell them about the gospel? Like, we come up with all kinds of excuses. It's, well, the timing isn't right or whatever, right? We all have excuses. But how much do we have to hate somebody to not tell them about the gospel? And when Jesus comes, when he appears, we'll meet him in the air. Right? And you think of those that are left behind. I don't know, I want to close this, and I want to encourage us to, just as Frank said, you know, as we eagerly wait, tell others about what Jesus has done. Tell others about who he is. Many have a false view of who Jesus is, that he's just a good person or a good prophet, but he's our Savior. Any other comments? Comments or questions? Anything?
I think the overarching thing that we will notice about him is his love. We will be just overwhelmed.
Yeah, what a day that will be. Yeah, his great love for us, eh? Isn't that something? Any other comments or questions? It's clear. How can you argue that, right? Jesus says, you honor me, you honor the Father. And I think also a portion in when Philip wanted to know, I think it's in John 14, and Philip says, show us the Father, and it is sufficient. And Jesus says, I have been with you so long, and yet you have not known me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? There's just verse upon verse that shows that Jesus is God.
Across the street, and the Savior, the God himself. Just change him in any way.
Yeah, what this world all tries, eh? And Jesus said clear that they hated me and they'll hate you. In a few weeks, we have a study coming up, right? Next week, I think that's Ruben's.
There's over 300 series, some prophecies that are already come true in the Bible. I mean, that's a good test of what we need to ask.
Don't give too much away.
Well, then we'll spend a little bit of time in prayer, and then we will close. Any prayer requests or praise items? We should keep praying for Aaliyah Peters, Travis and Shannon's girl. Anything else? Yes. And did he leave already? This Tuesday? Okay. Pray for Henry Dick. I mean, him and his wife went, right? The kids stayed back. Anything else? Mark Swatsky. I'm drawing a blank right now. Gerald Swatsky, yes. Oh, sorry, Gerald and Margaret, sorry, I'm... Yes, sorry, I... Urns at mid stomp. Gerald and Margaret Swatsky, absolutely. Any other prayer requests, praise items? Yeah, a praise item is just how our Lord works. That his desire is that no one go lost, and that he continually works. And I just love that. You know, people can be so hard and just hate the gospel, hate the Lord, and yet God can soften the heart and take the blinds off their eyes. Anything else? Okay, we're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. Somebody want to pray for Aaliyah Peters? Anybody? Sure. Somebody want to pray for Henry Dick? Sure, thank you. And for Gerald and Margaret Swatsky, somebody volunteer to pray for them. Anybody? Sure, Steve will, okay. Okay, let's close in prayer, and whoever wants to start, are we here?
he suffered as a human being, and how he bought us and redeemed us as his Savior, and much more, Lord. We thank you for that. We're asking, Lord, for Henry Dick, Lord, as he heads up to Mexico to seek help there, to see if they can do something for his pain and for his sickness. And the Lord, I ask that you would give them much peace. If it's your will, that you would bring healing. But that they would be full of peace, full of knowing that they are in your will, and that they would rest in that. If they could, you could guide them to the right doctors, and give the doctors wisdom, so that they may be able to find out what's going on. But it is all